Grace to you and peace be multiplied from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The verse of Holy Writ selected for our special meditation this morning is repeated three times in Psalms 42 and 43. Twice in Psalm 42 as verse 5 and verse 11. I have listed Psalm 43, verse 5, the conclusion of Psalm 43 as being my text. The word reads thus, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help and my God." Do you ever have the feeling that you are perched and seated on a heap of troubles without really being on top of them? Well, if that is true, and I suspect that it is for all of us, perhaps not always, but some of the time, then I believe we ought to be able to empathize with a poor figure in our first transparency taken from an illuminated 9th century psalter, the Stiftshauser Psalter. There sits the soul of the anima, a perch there on that little mound, seems like a big one, I'm sure, to the anima, of trouble, staring off blankly into the future, looking off into the distance. Disconsolate, cast down. Why? Because that future seems to be empty, nothing there. But out there somewhere must be God's sanctuary, God's temple, where God comes to meet with his people. But it's nowhere in sight. And so there sits the poor anima, the poor soul, those big glazed eyes staring out blankly and disconsolately. Not the best that you can do is stick a little finger in her mouth and reassure yourself that after all, she's really still there. And then down in the corner of the picture, you see the other figure. That's the psalmist himself. His eyes are about as big and sad as those of his anima, of his soul, sitting over there on the heap of trouble. He's tried music to rouse his disconsolate, melancholy soul. With once to David with relative success when he tried to see David's soul. But he's been plucking away now, and the way he stands there, he has apparently given up. What's the use? Music won't even rouse that unhappy soul perched up there on that heap of trouble. Well, I suggest that you can empathize with the anima. Would you dare to reproach the soul, as does the psalmist? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And if you did, what kind of an answer might you get? Why am I cast down? Here I am, thrown down, trampled down, held down, stamp down, if you ask, why am I cast down? But go ahead. Be brassy enough. Challenge that soul. Because it's your own sad, sad soul, your nasty, your own anima that you're challenging, and not somebody else's soul. And if you're going to challenge your own soul, why are you cast down? Your soul can say, look, all that mound of trouble. Yes, but I suggest you would have at least a three-pronged answer with which to guide and try to rouse your soul. You could tell your soul, first of all, you idiot, sit down. Sure, you've got trouble, but God can work magic out of trouble. He's making some beautiful flowers grow right out of all these things that have made you so disconsolate. You feel it behind you. There's a green tree, It's growing up there, and that tree isn't just in the yellow and the sugar. It's going to be bright with multicolored fruit. But secondly, why are you cast down? Sure, you've got a lot of troubles, but you're not drowning in them. You're on top of them. And that makes a great deal of difference. Here we have to give a little attention to the symbolism of the color that this illuminated, some old monk apparently employed. Down on the lower level, and I don't know that on this transparency it comes through as well as perhaps on some of the others, but at all events on the lower level, that lower band is a kind of dark blue. That's where the sinister things are. Only a couple of other colors there. Where the life that a believer lives with its vicissitudes, its ups and downs occur. And then on the top is the golden light where God dwells. So let thou cast down my soul. You fool! God doesn't plunge you into your troubles. He seems to have a way of putting them under you. And the more you get, the higher you go. And your head is actually up there in the golden glow where God dwells. You're up there, you're elevated there through the sacrament too. Where God comes to lift you up out of your troubles, you're lifted up the way you can sing with the angels and the archangels. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Thirdly, you can suggest to your sad soul that probably the difficulties aren't what you think they are. What do we come to think? There's that big heap, that big hill, that big mountain that I'm perched on. I would suggest that we come to think of the annoyances of life, things that go wrong, those inconsiderate, demanding professors, the boss that just doesn't understand. My children, when they get some disease like chicken pox, the two or three of them can't get a kind of at the same time. They got to take turns to watch it on as long as possible. Well, my own spouse was in. And then people seem to be so imperceptive and unappreciative. My congregation doesn't have enough sense to recognize a great preacher than a hero, me. And I have all these great ideas. Nobody seems to think they're great excepting me. You go on and on. But that isn't really where our trouble lies at all. We move to our second transparency with a bit of a clue from the Septuagint, and that's your little homiletical handout that you might want to look at after a while. The Septuagint translation here has for cast down the same Greek word that the New Testament ascribes to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here we have, why art thou cast down? Jesus says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. This transparency is made from a slide, which slide represents a wood carving by a contemporary Pole Roman sled. Notice what we have here then. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, bent double in agony. What bent him double in agony? The way he says, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. That is, when I think of what taking on me the sins of the world involves, even in anticipation I had rather be dead. Now my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. It isn't the little annoyances that do it, that's our Lord. He's there, and the woodcut artist has represented Jesus as being here on his mountain. Gethsemane doesn't turn out then to be a pleasant little park, a nice flower garden. It's there as a jagged rock like hill. Jesus is on top of our sins. You and I have heaped up this mountain. We thought we were on it. Well, one who is really past, the one who is exceeding sorrowful about our sin. He knows what it is. We make a lot of mistakes. He doesn't. He knows what it is. He's on top of those sins. Why should he sob and moan in agony, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death? Well, our third transparency should help us to understand something of what our Lord was enduring in anticipation. Why exceeding sorrowful even unto death? This is what happened. This is what happened when someone says, I will take over for sinners. The wages of sin is death. Our death. We should look like death. Jesus, here represented in this grisly, gruesome way by the contempt of Genevieve, makes us realize why Jesus said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. The wages of sin is death. Even the most consummate artistry, or the most gifted person in terms of descriptive language cannot say what that death was like. It is beyond description, either by a painter or by one who paints verbally. But there he is, the one who hung on the cross in our place, died, represented there, his body contorted, twisted, the arms almost rent from their socket, the mouth gaping, the body putrescent green, and contrary to history, but in conformity with reality, to bring home the horror of his death, abandonment by God, that he might not forever be abandoned to hell, the body pierced all over with a thorn. What then brought Jesus to this path? In terms of our text, I should like to say then, our failure to be happy and joyful. We should be sorry about our sins, but Jesus Christ took that sorrow on himself because he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. I can say to my soul, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Jesus was brought to this, that I might be lifted to joy. And when we are sad, too often we're sad for the wrong reason. If you follow the word around in the concordance about that exceeding sorrowful, some interesting things occur. King Herod was Kalili Pars. He was exceeding sorrowful. By shooting off his mouth, by his blessing, he had maneuvered himself into a spot where he had to have John the Baptist beheaded, which he didn't really want to do, but he'd maneuvered himself into that spot where he had to go through with it or else lose faith. And so he was very sad, not for a very good reason. The rich man, challenged by Jesus to give up his attachment to his wealth that he might be totally attached to Jesus, and he was very sad too. And so when we're sad, so often we're tempted to be sad, not for the right reasons, not about our sin. And then we're sad about it, and we recognize that Jesus dealt with it, and then we're glad that the face of gladness came. That's very interesting. In Genesis, the Hebrew text says that God came to Cain, and Cain was angry. The Greek translation uses the same word here, kalilipos, cast down, which suggests to me that so often, when I am sorry and sad and very grievous and downcast, it's not because of my sin, but it's because of the trouble that I have with my brother and with my fellow man. That's our sin. And it brought Jesus to this path. But, as our final transparency makes clear, all is not doomed and doomed. Jesus died, but he rose again for our justification. And now, in and through baptism, we are identified with that death and that resurrection. Not all gloom and doom out there in the future. The future into which the animal now is staring, sometimes blankly as we do. Out there, surely, there are two tombs, one for you and one for me. But as surely as we shall lie in that tomb. And we have placed our confidence in Jesus Christ to attain the victory. The Easter dawn, the sun of righteousness shines already over our grave, because, as the cross indicates, we have placed our confidence in Him. And then at the glorious day of resurrection, we shall surely know that Jesus meant us singly, individually, and collectively when He said, "Because I live, ye shall live also. For I will cast down my soul." Amen.